We need to learn to what? Stand alone for God. Amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening's message by Pastor Brian Grant is taken from the account of Noah and the deluge in Genesis. You likely know the story. Humankind had become so universally sinful and violent that God determined to destroy them all. Nevertheless, by standing for righteousness, Noah found favor in the eyes of God. And by his conduct, he not only saved himself, but he influenced his own family as well. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant draws three lessons we might learn from the text that will help, especially fathers, show their children how to swim against the tide in this increasingly sinful and violent world of today. Here now is Pastor Grant with the first part of Showing Your Children How to Live.
The kids had talked Mom into getting a hamster and promised they'd take care of their new pet, who they named Danny. However, within 2 months, the children had totally forgotten their promise to take good care of Danny, and Mom now ended up taking care of Danny. And after a while, Mom got tired of taking care of this little hamster. And so she decided it was time to give away Danny. So she called the children together and she said, you know, I'm tired of taking care of Danny. I'm going to give him away because you haven't. So they said, Mom, we're going to miss him. We're going to miss. What the daughter said, if he ate less food, Would he be able to stay if he didn't eat so food? If he wasn't so messy, would he be able to stay? The mom said, I've had enough. I'm giving away Danny. It's finished. The kid said, what? They started laughing. Danny? We thought you said Daddy. We thought you were giving away Daddy. Daddy had made so little impact on his family, the kids thought he was the one Mommy was giving away. But thank God, all dads are not like that. Amen? Thank God that not all of us, I hope I'm not one that they want to give away. Amen? Thank God not all dads, Mom doesn't want to give away all dads. But this morning, as we come to Father's Day, I want to talk with you about, on this topic, showing your children how to live. You know, it's sad, but it's true, that sometimes we dads make very little impact on our family. In fact, the truth is sometimes we are missing in action.
Yeah.
And that is even a greater tragedy when dad is missing in action. But we play a very significant role in our family. For as I shared before, a child raised without a dad is 3 times more likely to end up in jail by age 30. Did you know that? A child without a dad at home is 3 times more likely to end up in jail by their 30 than a child that has a dad at home. So make no mistake, we dads make a difference. You know, sometimes we're there, we're making a difference, but sometimes we're not making as much of a difference as God wants us to make. And so I want to talk with you this morning about showing your children how to live. Because sometimes we are great at telling our children how they should live, but sometimes we don't show them. We want to teach them how to, you know, we want to teach them how, but God wants us to show them how. And so this morning we're going to talk about how to help model for your children how to live. The story of Noah is a Sunday school favorite, but if you really think of it, Noah is hardly ever used as an illustration for being a dad. As I was pondering what to speak on, I said, you know, I've never heard anyone use Noah as an example for a father's, never heard a Father's Day message based on the life of Noah. And so this morning, I want to actually go to the story of Noah and pull for you three lessons, three things that we can learn from him about showing our children how to live. Here's the first thing I want us to put down in our notes about Noah. And here's the first thing. We must show our children how to walk righteously in the midst of wickedness. Amen? We must show our children. Do we have the PowerPoint ready? We must show our children how to walk righteously in the midst of wickedness. Amen?
Amen.
Most men are crowd followers. So instead of following Jesus, they prefer to follow their friends, even at the risk of getting in trouble. I hope everybody's listening to me.
Yes, sir.
Most men, teenager, listen very carefully, because sadly, there's something wired in us to want to follow our friends. And even if we get in trouble, there are a lot of young people and teenagers who would rather follow their friends. If you visit a prison, you'll find a lot of young men who are there just because they were following their friends. I had a young man who I knew very, very well, and right nearby here, he was following his friends. The next thing he realized, the police pulled them over. He was sitting in the car when his friends went in and robbed the store, and here he was. He ended up in jail. He was unable to convince the judge and jury, or if it was a jury trial, I don't remember, but he couldn't convince them. He was not involved. He went to jail because he was hanging out with the wrong crowd. Young people, be very careful. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 20 warns, whoever walks with the wise will become wise. But listen to me now, young people and older ones, but the companions of fools will suffer harm. It does matter who you decide to hang with. Whoever walks with wise men will become wise, but the companions of fools will suffer harm. So write this down. Walking righteously requires standing alone for God. Come on with me now, young people and older ones, because it's not only the young people who are just following along. We need to learn to what? Stand alone for God. Amen. Oh, say it with me. We need to learn what? To stand alone for God. Or with God. Genesis chapter 6, verses 5. Let me read that for you. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man. We're not going to go into the explaining what that means, but we'll perhaps do it another time. And he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man. By the way, this did not take God by surprise. Let me just say that to you, lest you read this and say, oh my, they did something that shocked God. No, they didn't shock God. God knows the end from the beginning. Amen? So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah's decision to walk with God meant he would have to walk alone. For the people of Noah's generation loved sin. If you were to read verse 5 in the Message version, here's how it reads. God saw that human evil was out of control. People thought evil, imagined evil, and did evil from morning till night. That's what the Bible is saying. People are just doing stuff from morning till night. Evil all day long. Does that sound like today? But despite all the wickedness around him, oh, please don't miss this. Listen, sometimes we make it seem that we're being forced to do wrong. But despite all the evil around him, there was a man by the name of Noah. And Noah chose to walk with God. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I do not have to follow the crowd. Amen? Amen. We don't have to. We can choose to walk with God. And young people and older ones, I want to ask you this morning, what choice are you making? Are you choosing to walk with God, or are you choosing to drift with the crowd? He's like, when you follow the crowd, you're not really making it. You're just drifting. I'm going along. But God wants us to make a choice to activate our minds and our decision-making ability and to choose to walk with God. Amen. Noah chose to walk with God. The word, in verse number 8, it says here, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The word grace is a small word with a very expansive meaning. I'm not going to go into all of what grace means, but I want to just give you one of the small aspects of the meaning of grace. And it's one that we use often, but it's important that when we use this meaning of grace, we realize it's a very narrow, that grace is much more. But certainly, grace is undeserved favor, but that's just a little tiny piece. Grace is God's undeserved favor. So add this to your notes. Walking righteously results in God lavishing us with his undeserved favor.
Thank you, Lord.
Can you imagine with that?
Yes, Lord.
When I decide to walk with God, he lavishes me with his divine favor.
Yes, Lord.
He keeps blessing. There's a little sound that he keeps what? Did they sing that? He keeps blessing. He's blessing me. You ever heard that song? He's blessing me. He's blessing me. He opened the door that I may see. He's blessing me. And God just keeps blessing us and lavishing us with his divine favor. When we choose to walk with God, it results in God lavishing us with his undeserved favor. Thank God for his grace that despite our past, God will lavish his favor upon us. So young people, when you get to college, some of you are in, some of you are going. When you get to college, instead of following the crowd, make a decision to walk courageously with God. Let me say that again.
Yes, sir.
Because too many young people lose their way in college.
Yay, Lord.
When you get to college, you say, oh, I can't. I have to follow. You don't. You can actually come out of college. By God's grace, he helped me that I came out of college stronger Christian than I went in. And the same can be true of in your life. If you make a decision that I'm going to walk with God, when you go to college, instead of following the crowd, make a decision to walk courageously with God. But you got to have courage.
That's right. Tell him.
Any dead fish can go downstream. Am I right about that? Any dead fish can go with the tide downstream. Are you a dead fish?
Very nice.
May God help us to realize that have to flow downstream. And every young person, every old one, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have to follow the crowd. God wants to lavish you with his undeserved favor. Don't blow it.
Go ahead.
So what have we said so far? Walking righteously requires standing alone for God. Secondly, walking righteously results in God lavishing us with his undeserved favor. But here's the third thing. Walking righteously requires total obedience to God's directives. Amen? So in chapter 6, verse 13. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me. I'm in Genesis 6. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself, he says to Noah, an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark, cover it inside and out with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300. And on, verse 16, you shall make a window. And every detail God gives him. And on, verse 20, of the birds after their kind, and God gives him detailed instructions. And at verse 22, it says, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. What is that saying? The Bible is telling us that although Noah was a big grown man, he made a decision that whatever God said he would do, he made a decision he would follow God's directives. And might God help you, whether you're a teenager, a preteen, or a big grown man or grown woman. Part of the problem with us grown men is that we're still thinking we can do it our way. I can follow my own will. Well, go ahead and help yourself. Go ahead, do it your way. But I thank God that there are some who have made a decision. I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. And sir, father, daddy, young men, ladies, no matter who you are, if you're serious about things, about seeing God's favor on your life, it's time to stop where you are and make a decision that you're going to obey God's directives, not just some. Oh, that's why we feel good about ourselves. Oh, I'm doing some of what God said. God didn't. Did you see anything in this text where Noah just did some? You realize if Noah didn't fall at all, that boat probably wouldn't sail. Amen. Or they'd run out of food too early. Or whatever, whatever. Thank God for men and women who are willing to obey God's directives. We do not have a better idea than God. We're living in an age where some believe you can live righteously without total obedience. Even preachers, you turn on the television and you listen and you watch some of the stuff. Even preachers make it seem like we can, like the Christian life is a cafeteria buffet line. You know what I'm talking about? You ever gone to the cafeteria? What you do? You take what you want. I pick what I want, and I leave what I want. That works in the cafeteria. It don't work in the kingdom of God. Amen? In God's plan. It's a, what is the name of the other type of menu where you got to eat? What? Not a buffet, all right? God has already set the menu. I don't remember all these names. It's already determined. It's already prefixed. Thank you. He has already figured out what it's. If you're going to walk with Jesus, you eat everything. You do everything on the menu. Amen. Whether you like it or not. And sometimes way down the road, you realize why God told you to do what he told you to do. Amen. Sometimes, do you know, young people, sometimes you're not, why did God tell me to do this? You know, sometimes you don't figure it out until you're bald-headed like me. Uh-oh. Sometimes it takes a minute or two. But what we do know is that if God tells you to do it, we do what he says. Noah was determined to obey God. First, we must not only show our children how to walk righteously in the midst of wickedness, but second, put this on your notes, we must show our children. Remember now, Dad, we're showing our children that walking closely with God requires a committed faith. Most of us who watch the Olympics realize that although Jamaican athletes are famous for sprint races, once a race goes beyond 400 meters, you'll rarely see a Jamaican athlete in the race. Have you ever noticed that? Now, I'm not sure if it's because Jamaica doesn't have enough space. You know, we're a small country, so probably there's not enough space to train these long-distance runners. But if you're going to run the marathon, you've got to be committed to endure for a long time. You see, the sprinter can just take off like a dash. In 10 seconds, it's over. Can you imagine that? 10 seconds, it's all done. I trained so hard, but just for 10 seconds. Those marathon, but I tell you, they got to endure on and on and on. The Christian life, put this in your notes, the Christian life is a marathon, not a sprint. We must prepare to endure hardship and challenges for a long time as we walk with God. Too many Christians run hot and cold. When things are good, are going well, they're on top of the mountain. You can hear them shouting hallelujah. You can see them. And they come through the church doors with a smile on their face. Good morning, Brother Grant. But once problems arise, they immediately sink in the valley of despair. You mightn't see them at all. In fact, Brother Grant may have to call them to find out. So what's going on? Because they're now in the valley of despair. But my friend, it's time to stop this roller coaster faith. For the Christian life is a marathon, and we have to run with endurance. There will be days we're running on the mountain, and there will be days we're running in the valley, but let's never forget that the God on the mountain, amen, is still God in the valley. Perhaps somebody needs to hear that this morning. Perhaps right now you're in the valley and you're feeling like God has forgotten you. Well, I want you to know that God never ever forgets his own, and the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. Amen. We can depend on him. Hold on to our God. Amen.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.